Well, Horst, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And today I'm going to share with you the message I preach for our people here in Jacksonville. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you ears to hear and be blessed as you listen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 14. We'll go through some other verses in 2 Corinthians. I've entitled this, Water and Oil Don't Mix. Water and oil don't mix. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? The reason that oil and water doesn't mix is that the molecules, the water has more molecules, is impacted with molecules, whereas oil is not so much. Water has, a glass of water has more molecules in it than all the known stars in the universe. An 8-ounce glass of water has more molecules in it than all the known stars in the universe. Oil doesn't have that makeup of molecules, and so that is why they don't mix. What we're talking about this morning is too much of the church and too much of the world is mixing and mingling in an ungodly way. Cheryl and I went to Maple Street yesterday for breakfast. And I'm sitting there watching people and listening to people. She went and stood in line to get the biscuits and gravy. And I'm standing there, and I'm sitting there looking at people and listening to the conversation, watching what's going on. And I said to myself, I don't fit. I don't fit in this world anymore. But yet, I do fit because God put me here. And we look around at our changing world, changing values. We watch the church pandering to sin in many respects. The Methodists have finally started positionalizing after years of pandering and compromise. The Episcopals, years ago, they bit the dust. The Lutherans, they bit the dust. We've got Protestant churches that are pandering, that are making concessions, making compromise. And so when I look at what's really going on, you know, we're supposed to be salt and light. And I think that too much of the church is in the twilight zone. They're trying to be light but embrace enough darkness that they don't stand out as light, and therefore they kind of get semi-light. Well, that's not acceptable to God. And I'm going to say some things this morning that, thank God, will be on the radio this week. But it's not comfortable for a lot of people. But then the law of the Word of God is not comfortable for a lot of people. And if you're going to obey the Word of God, it becomes even less comfortable for a lot of people. So once again, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked, notice that word, yoked together, with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with darkness, and what communion has light with darkness? Now, he is speaking primarily here. This verse speaks primarily to marriage. We know that. I'll prove it to you. It speaks primarily to marriage, but the spiritual truth in it branches out and touches almost every area of life that you're in. So understand this going into it, that it speaks primarily, initially and firstly, to marriage. A saved individual cannot expect to marry an unsaved individual and have a harmonious, ongoing relationship. Not going to happen. Sooner or later, you say, well, Bob, suppose this one is a this and this one is a that. Depends on what this is and that is. But the point is that an unsaved person and a saved person is not to be connected together in marriage. So, if that being the case, and that is the case, and if they do get married, what do you expect down the pike? And what will the children be subjected to? And what will be the foundation of the marriage? Now, in Deuteronomy, God told the people when they were coming out, he says, you're going in to take the land that I gave you, and I want you to just wipe them out, but do not, matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 3, neither shall you make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not, you shall not give to their son, nor his daughter shall you take for your son. Won't do it. You're not to give your sons to them. You're not to take their daughters for your sons, nor vice versa. You're not to intermingle like that, because the question is, what is the communion between righteousness and unrighteousness? There is none. There is no point of contact. There's no common ground, but you're up against it every day. You are up against this every day. There is no point of contact. There is no common ground. What does light and darkness have in common? Nothing. Light and darkness have absolutely nothing in common. We are children of the light, children of God. As one born again, you're a child of God. As one born again, you're a child of the light. Those who are not born again are a child of the devil. They're children of darkness. Darkness and light have no common ground. They have no common ground. Spiritually, there is no common ground whatsoever. You see, as a believer, you cannot agree with that. Listen to me. As a believer, you cannot agree with that which disagrees with God.
Amen.
In any forum, in any context, you cannot agree with that which disagrees with God. How much of our nation today disagrees with God? The other night I'm watching my favorite television show, because I don't want to see stuff that I shouldn't see. I like Gunsmoke. I like Gunsmoke. I can tell you, when he comes, he's going to die. Because you can tell by his swagger, his dress, his hat, that guy dead. He's going to die. So in Gunsmoke, I'm never offended. They drink a little booze, but I don't drink booze. But I'm not offended by the language. I'm not offended by sensuality. I'm not offended by those kinds of things. It's just blah, blah, blah. So when that's off, I shut the thing down and go about my business. But I'm sitting there watching an innocent show, and here's Home Depot with an advertisement with two guys kissing. Home Depot, two men embracing and kissing. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. What has two men kissing got to do with selling merchandise in Home Depot? Nothing except it's pandering to sin. They're pandering to sin. Now, I asked you three questions a while ago. What would you choose? We may be facing all three. In this nation, we may be facing all three. I don't know. But when I look at that and I'm thinking, okay, I'm a dad, and I'm sitting here watching Gunsmoke, kind of an innocent black and white show, and I got two or three kids sitting, maybe got a couple of boys sitting here. Maybe they're 6, 7, 8 years old. And they see two men embracing and kissing. And I said, Home Depot, your history. Your history. I wouldn't spend another dime with you. But you see, if the way it's going now, it'll get to the place, if it keeps going, you can't spend a dime with anybody. Because the whole system, as God said through Isaiah, the whole nation from head to foot is sick. And that's where our nation is today. And why? Because of the church. We have not done what the Word of God tells us to do. We have what fellowship hath light with darkness done whatever. So as we come through this morning, You have to understand that, and you take it into whatever expression of life you want. Why are you here? Now stop. I'm going to stretch you this morning, okay? Somebody says, well, my mama was a whatever, and my daddy was a whatever, and that's why I'm a whatever. Bring that over into the religious system. My mama was a Catholic. My mama was a Baptist. My daddy was a Catholic. My daddy was a Baptist. Whatever. And that's why I'm a Catholic. That's why I'm a Baptist. Wrong reason. You see, your mama can be wrong, and your daddy can be wrong, and you can be wrong. Amen. No, the central, I got into this last week. The centrality of the thing is Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you been born again? All right. If you've been born again, and I realize this is going to get ugly, okay, but I can handle ugly. I've been ugly a long time. I can handle ugly. But stop and think about this now. How can you, as a child of God, embrace anything that disagrees with God? How can you, as a child of God, embrace a religious system or a political system that disagrees with God? You say, we don't have a lot of choices. You see, I cannot embrace anyone who embraces ungodliness. I cannot embrace a system that embraces ungodliness. I can't be a party to that. No child of God can. Listen, you're a steward. You're going to be held accountable before God for the way you stewarded everything He made available to you. You're accountable for the way you steward your resources. You're accountable for the way you steward your time. You're accountable for that which you stand for and that which you stand against. All of that, we as people of God are accountable to God for everything that we're talking about. When I look at the pandering of this nation, the pandering of churches, the pandering of corporate America, as I pray asking God to bring correction to corporate America, I ask God to bring correction to the church, I realize that if He hears my prayer and your prayer, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But I'll trust Him to bring me through it. Because it's one of two things, folks. We either got to have correction or we're going to be in big trouble. Chastisement. Choose your own. Correction or chastisement. I'd rather have correction. Now, when I say the believer cannot, in 2 Corinthians 6:15, what accord? Now, that word accord means harmony. What harmony, what agreement has Christ with Belial? The word Belial there means Satan. So he's asking the question. Now, listen, this is Paul writing to believers. He's writing to the church of Corinth. And Corinth was eat up with problems. And he's saying, what concord, what agreement, what harmony does Christ have with the devil? None. There is, you see, the lines, here's where we are today in our nation and in much of the church. The lines are becoming somewhat indistinct. The church, in her desire so many times to be accepted by that group and this group and that movement, tends to kind of pander to them and sort of back up from the standard and say, well, we won't embrace the whole thing, but we'll give a little ground here and a little ground there, and when you give enough, you're no longer what you started out to be. And that's happened to major denominations. Watch this again very carefully, verse 15. What accord, what harmony, what agreement has Christ with Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now, in the King James Version, it says infidel. Infidel? What is an infidel? An infidel is an unbeliever. An infidel is a person who has not been born again. In the New Living Translation, it reads it this way. What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? There is no harmony. You can't harmonize the two. You can't do it. What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with the unbeliever, the Word of God says? Now, that's how the New Living Translation. There is no point of agreement. There is no point of agreement. None, zero, not one. There's no point of agreement whatever between Jesus and Satan. It's not there. Now, you one who's been born again, see, they're completely, totally opposite to one another. Totally opposite to one another. You, as a child of God, are supposed to be totally opposed to everything Satan has to offer. Amen. Let me ask you this. What does the world have to offer that you want? What can the world give you? We haven't received the spirit of the world. I have not received the spirit of the world. The world doesn't have one single solitary thing that I can use. In the spirit realm, we're talking about, of course. The world has nothing to offer. So the Word of God is saying to us that we, as children of God, who do not have the spirit of the world, we cannot agree with the spirit of the world. We can't agree with them. It's impossible for a believer to agree with and to partner with an unbeliever. Now, I'm going to have to mellow this out for you so you can grasp what I'm saying. Compromise. Compromise in the realm of the Spirit of God, in the heavenly kingdom. Compromise shouldn't even be a word in the vocabulary of a Christian. There should not be vocabulary. Our vocabulary should not even embrace the word compromise when it comes to the things of God. You cannot, as a child of God, compromise with the devil. And yet the church has been doing that. And the church is doing that, and it's costing us as a nation. Watch this now. When you come down to, let me get down there myself, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You see, the most abhorrent thing a Jew could think about was to walk into the temple in Jerusalem and find an idol in the temple. You are the temple of God now. You are the temple of God. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There's no point of agreement. Yesterday, as I was going through this again, Cheryl was out shopping, and I'm in my study. And I thought, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Does the church, do the people of God really truly appreciate the fact that God says in His Word, you are the temple of God? As I thought about that, I was thinking about the tabernacle. And I was thinking about the presence of God on the mercy seat behind the veil. And yet I was thinking about the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And I've mentioned this to you so many times because there's so much relevance here and there's so much truth here that He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, therefore He can be here, He can be there. I dare say that the presence of God never left the mercy seat. The presence of God was always over the mercy seat between the cherubim, and yet during the day He manifested Himself as a pillar of cloud by day. He manifested Himself as a pillar of fire by night. So as I've told you so many times, the Israeli could walk outside of his tent and see that pillar of cloud, fog, pillar of fire at night, cloud by day, and yet he was still on the mercy seat. Now, the same God that was on the mercy seat, the same God that was manifested as the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is indwelling each and every one of us. Amen. That hasn't resonated with much of the church. You are the temple of God. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. The omniscient, omnipotent God of this universe indwells you. You've heard me in recent weeks say so often to you, to enable you, to empower you. I'm going to say it again this morning. When you realize this, what agreement does the temple of God, my body's the temple. He's saying to me, Bob, what agreement does your body, you as a temple of my spirit, what do you have in common with the devil? Nothing. Nothing. For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. Do you realize everywhere you are, God is? Everywhere you are, God is. Because if you're born again, you're taking with you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you take God with you. He says, I will be in them. I will walk with them. He's walking with us. But how many in the family of God are manifesting the presence of God everywhere we go? This bears into what I'm going to say to you, Toby, at the end of this service, and it's available to each and every one of us in here. We are the temple of the living God. You say, I've heard this. You haven't heard it till you're living it. You have not heard it till it becomes real in your life. You have not heard it until you are cognizant of the fact that your body is the temple of the living God, and that the same God that brought the Israelites out of Egypt and indwelt them and was in their presence in the wilderness, in their travels, is in you. Same God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Now this is 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul had a problem at Corinth. He knew that. Do you not understand, he says, that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Well, wait a minute. That being the case, if you know that, if you embrace that, why are we suffering so much defeat? Why is the church so enfeebled? Why does the church walk in more power? Why don't we see the power of God manifested more fully and more thoroughly in and through the church? He's saying, look at it again. This time it's in 1 Corinthians, same thing you get in 2 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells? You see, what I'm trying to do this morning, you won't believe the time I had with the Lord yesterday afternoon. I want all of us, me, you, I want every one of us in here to better understand who we are in Christ Jesus and what is available to us, through us, to the world around us. That's what I want us to get a handle on. But here's where we're at. So many in the body of Christ are in a wrestling match with the Spirit of God. They're getting beat up every day. They're working. Listen, let me say, oh, Lord, help me here. When you got saved, that was an event. That was an event. But, folks, you came into the body of Christ with a lot of baggage hanging on you. You came into the body of Christ with a lot of baggage hanging on you. The problem is that most of the church will never take the time to examine the baggage they brought into the church with them. And that's why salvation is an event, sanctification is a process, and trust me, and this will explain to some of you why you're going through what you're going through right now, because some of you are going through battles in your mind that you won't even talk to anybody about and hardly mention it to him. Every place where Satan had a stronghold in your life, when you came to the body of Christ, you're going to have to face that stronghold and overcome it and be victorious in it before you can go on the way you need to go on. Amen. That's why he's in you. To enable. He didn't say, I will deliver you from the confrontation. No. He says, You have to meet the thing. You have to go into the confrontation. But I will enable you. I will empower you, God says, to defeat that which is coming against you. But you've got to be willing for it to be defeated.
Amen.
No fellowship. No point of contact. You don't want any of that. Here we go again. Once again. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you're the temple of God? That the Spirit of God indwells you. He wants to enable you. He wants to empower you. He wants to lead you. We're getting in some trouble. What? I'm telling you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you in every area of your life. When my wife was in the hospital years ago, pneumonia, they sent her home in the hospital with 13 prescription medicines. And she looked at those 13 medicines, and she got quiet before the Lord, and she took 10 of them and threw them in the garbage. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have no right to do anything to your body or put anything in your body that the Holy Spirit of God does not give you the peace of God to do that. Are you hearing anything?
Yes, sir.
13 medicines they sent her home with. 10 she threw in the trash. 3 she kept. And she took those till they were finished. And she was through with it. I'm saying this to you this morning. I'm saying if we will take God at His word, and this is not name it and claim it preaching. This is bare-knuckled. This is bare-knuckled theology. If we will take God at His word, believe His word, and trust His word, you're going to see a progressive move of God in your life. Matter of fact, I just saw another one in my life. A week ago, my endocrinologist took me off insulin. The endocrinologist did it. He's done it Baptist South. And the blood work kept, and I kept praying. I never asked God to deliver me from it. I figured, well, this may be a thorn in the flesh. Okay, if it's a thorn in the flesh, I'll live with it. But this past time, after all the blood work, and he's been watching it month after month after month, he asked me if I'd be willing to come off of it. Now, yeah, I'll come off. You see, I'm saying to you, that there's more available to you than you have ever imagined. See, if I were to share with you, if you knew my background, you'd say there's nothing in his background that lends itself to being flaky. Nothing in my background lends to that. If I only told you, if I only share with you some of the stuff that the Lord has put me through, brought me through, and me listening to him and obeying him and watching the results, you think, man, this guy is a little bit off top center. But what's available to me is available to you.
Amen.
I could give you such a simple, now I ain't going to do that because you're not ready for it. You can't handle it yet. Let's go with this. I'll get to that later, okay? Now, Proverbs, here we go. Proverbs 3:5. Turn to somebody and say, I got to get this. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How many are doing that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Are you with me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart that you, with everything in you, are going to trust God in this situation. You're going to ask Him for His guidance, His direction, His peace. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And you say to yourself, well, it's just common sense. Common sense is not necessarily the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord. You see, our common sense oftentimes has been conditioned by things and people and other things we heard and other things we were a part of. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I cannot be a part of this without your approval. I cannot be a part of that without your approval. I cannot buy that. We're talking about some major things now, like homes. You go buy a house. You go buy another car. I'm talking down to the practical, everyday applications of life. Whatever you're about to be involved in, am I trusting in God with all my heart, or am I leaning to my own understanding or my own desires or my own wishes or my own wants? What am I doing? Am I trusting God? I dare say you won't find five in here that are doing that. That are trusting God with all their heart. They process everything through His word and His will. I will obey your word. See, my commitment to the Lord is this. I have got to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and nothing else is acceptable. Nothing. Nothing else is acceptable. I say to Jesus, you've got to be my best friend. You're my Lord, my Master, my Savior. I have got to process everything that I do, that I'm a part of, that I'm partaking of, through you. I've got to have your peace and the peace that remains. Did you hear me? Amen. I've got to have your peace and the peace that remains. If the peace does not remain, then I can't be a part of it. I can't do it. I don't care what the situation in life is. If Christ won't be a part of that, how can I be a part of it? If Christ will not be a part of abortion, how can I be a part of it? If Christ will not be a part of homosexuality, how can I be a part of it? And I've had people sitting in my congregation who had family in that lifestyle. And I knew when I preached against it, I'm going to offend you. But if I've got to offend you or God, I'm going to offend you because I'm not going to offend God. Amen. And I knew it was going to cost me. And it has. I had a lady who poured all her booze into house cleaning bottles and hid them under the sink. When her husband opened the cabinet, all he saw was house cleaning materials. But every time she wanted a swig, folks, what we do, what we go through, what we try to pull off, but God saw it. Amen. God saw it. Marriage. They come into you, we want to get married. Well, let's talk about your salvation. Well, no, I'm not quite there yet, but I'll get there. It's going to work out all right. No, no, no. You don't go there. Word of God says not to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Now look at Proverbs 6:3, 3:6. In all your ways, do you believe this?
Yes.
In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In all your ways. I ask Him, folks, I'm just being as transparent as I know how to be with you. I ask Him some of the most simplistic things. I do. I ask Him some of the most simplistic things. Lord, what should I do about this? What should I do about that? How do I handle this? How do I address that? And He tests me in time. The Lord will give me that word of knowledge in my spirit, or maybe just an impression that I have to filter out and find out, is this from God or is this me? Am I hearing God? Am I hearing me? Am I reaching back somewhere and putting something out of my background? Am I hearing God? But as you do exactly what He's saying right here in Proverbs chapter 3, once again, and verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. It's hard to do that when you're quenching Him and grieving Him. If you're quenching the Spirit of God, if you're grieving the Spirit of God, then you're not going to hear the Word of God. You're not going to hear the Spirit of God. If you're quenching and grieving the Spirit of God, you're not going to hear Him when He speaks clearly to you. And this is between you and God, but you got to get it straight. You got to be sensitive to that check in the Spirit. You got to be sensitive to the peace in the Spirit. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, said this: be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be concerned. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. We got people sitting in church. They're popping uppers and downers. You hear me? We got people sitting in church who are popping uppers and downers, trying to level things out in their life. Just keep your eyes on me for the moment. Don't let Satan, see, Satan doesn't want you to hear this. We have people, I'm going to say it again, in church, popping uppers and downers. Why? Because we're in violation of the Word of God here. Okay. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. What is your request? And is your request in accordance with His Word and His will? You see, when He tells me, here again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Him. Philippians 4:7. If you do this, and the peace of God, there it is. You got to have the peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We cannot comprehend it. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, your Heavenly Father is approachable. Your Heavenly Father is not only approachable and accessible, He wants you to come. He wants you to come in faith. He wants you to come in obedience. Now, notice something here. We wonder why many times there's so little expression of faith in the church. They hook together. Faith and obedience hook together. If you disconnect obedience from faith, you got a problem. But as long as you keep faith and obedience, you're not hearing me. Faith and obedience hook together. Faith over here in disobedience cancels faith. Amen. Disobedience cancels faith. But when you hook the two together, faith and obedience, you say, okay, make that practical, all right? I'll make it practical. You say, I've got the faith to trust God. I believe God. I believe God can. I believe God will. And I will obey God. So when what God says to you is contrary to what you're being told otherwise, are you willing to trust Him in faith? I've been there. Am I going to trust you? Am I going to believe that? And then obedience. Are you willing to obey? Whatever the situation may be, am I willing to obey? Obedience. Word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm saying to you that most of the church is not in obedience. Why do I say that? Because if we were, we would not be where we are as a nation. If we were in obedience to Him, we would not be in the condition we're in as a nation, and the church would not be in the condition that it is in. Now we come down to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. When you're seeking a move of God, don't offend the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't compromise. You say, well, Bob, what's the solution? Word of God. Go back to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 6:17. He said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. But look at 2 Corinthians 6:17. Watch this carefully. Wherefore, come out. That indicates what? You've been there. Come out. Don't stay there. Don't stay where you are. Come out from among them. Among who? The unbelievers. That kind of fellowship. Be ye separate, which saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now another translation puts it this way. Therefore, come out from among the unbelievers, separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. Now, wait a minute. Let's bring this into focus. Life itself dictates that you mix and mingle with unbelievers. Okay? Wait, let's put this in proper context. Life itself dictates that you mix and mingle with unbelievers in the workplace, in the neighborhood, where you shop. But what he's saying is, you don't embrace what they embrace. Amen. You don't become a part of what they are. You remain separate from that. Christ, I saw a thing the other night, said, why is the church so hated in the nation? And I thought, simple. Christ was hated.
Amen.
Was not Christ hated? Is not Christ, for the most part, hated today in much of the world? Yes, he is. It just stands to reason, then, that if you're one of his, Jesus said, the day's going to come that they'll kick you out of the synagogue. They'll think they're doing God a favor when they kill you. That's where we are. You're watching it. If you're watching the signs of the times, if you have any sensitivity whatever to the signs of the times, prophetically speaking from the Word of God, then you can see the thing closing in on you, closing in on the church. It's here and it's now. You cannot, you see, Christ never compromised, though. Christ never compromised. And we're not to compromise. So, we remain salt, we remain light, that preservative and that light. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. We have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world has nothing to offer me.
No.
I don't want anything to do with the spirit of the world. No. Hallmark. Hallmark used to have a lot of good, solid programming. It was always Christmas. It was always snowing. In July, it was snowing. But Hallmark had, and you knew this, you knew in the last 5 minutes, that couple's going to kiss and make up. You knew that going into it. At 5 minutes to the hour before the show's over, they're going to, everything is okay. Always had the happy ending. But they started pandering. And they brought ungodliness into the mix. And people on the staff and the actors and actresses, some of them said, we can't do that. We're not going to compromise. They left. Now we got the Great American Family. So they got that show over there. So they left them and came over here because they would not be a party to that. You see, it's so subtle. It is so subtle that if you're not careful, you will become ingrained in. You're sitting there watching something that grieves the Spirit of God. You're sitting here watching something that quenches the Spirit of God. And then you're going to go to him and walk in faith, right? Not going to happen, folks. You got to stand out. You got to stand out like a blazing bright light in a dark room, because we're in a sin-darkened world.
Amen.
And we are the light. We are light and we are salt. You cannot be a partaker of any thing that quenches and grieves the Spirit of God, because if you do, it's going to diminish your effectiveness as a child of God, and it's going to neutralize your faith.
Amen.
Say, Bob, you've been over the top this morning. Well, take it up with God.
Amen.
His word, I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. Once again, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given by God. As I said a moment ago, Jesus mixed and mingled with sinners, but he never compromised. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and be a father, he says to them, God says to them, go back to 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now you go to 2 Corinthians 6:18. He says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He is saying to you, if you'll comply with these things, don't be unequally yoked. He says, I'll be a father to you, you'll be my sons, you'll be my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Bottom line of all this, and I've had so much get generated this morning that I've put so much into it that I felt the Holy Spirit moving the pieces around on me. Bottom line, compliance, not compromise. Compliance, not compromise. Now, Toby, I'd tell you towards the end of this message, I've seen God heal. I've seen God heal when the doctor said they were going to die. I personally have received divine healing that spared me from surgery. I've personally received that. And I heard a song this last week, and in the song they're saying, I can't walk on waters, I can't do this, I can't do that, but I know a man who can. I love the song. Some call him Redeemer, Salvation Man. I call him Jesus. He's my dearest friend. And I started praying. I said, I like your song, but let's bring this over to another camera angle. I can't heal you, Toby. Now listen to me. I'm giving you an expression of ministry. Toby, I can't heal you, but I have a friend who can. I don't just know a man who can. I have a friend who can. If I were rewriting the song, that's the way I would rewrite it. I can't walk on troubled water. I can't calm an angry sea. I can't make deaf ears to hear. I can't make blind eyes to see. There's a lot I can't do, but I have a friend. His name is Jesus. I have a friend who can. Now, some of you are going to think, Bob, we know you mean well. No, you won't in here. You won't. Many churches, I've preached in big churches. I've preached in the First Baptist churches. I've preached in big churches. I've been offered churches. But I had to come to a moment of truth this past week in my study back there. And I wasn't even going to share this with you. I had to come to a moment of truth. I don't feel any checks in my spirit, so I'll share this with you. I had to find my comfort zone in ministry. My comfort zone, I've discovered now that all of those years in teaching in the Ramada Inn, La Quinta, Holiday, and I was in a room about this size, maybe a little bit larger than this, but every single soul in there came because they wanted to receive the Word of God.
Amen.
At the La Quinta, people were coming at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and waiting for the meeting at 7. They'd get off work, come to La Quinta, grab something to eat at Subway across the street, and sit and visit with each other till the meeting started at 7. And then the meeting would last hour and 10 minutes, whatever. And sometimes they'd keep me there for an hour answering questions. But here was the difference. Everybody there, and that's true here, praise God, everybody in there was here, there, they were from different denominations, different races, even different nationalities, but they all had this one thing in common. We want to be grounded in the Word of God. Amen. And that's why you're here. And that's why many of you have stuck with me for 30 years now, because you want the Word. Amen. Toby, what I'm going to do for you this morning, I'm going to look you straight in your eyes. And I'm going to say, Toby, I can't heal you, but I have a friend who can. And I'm going to pray for you in Jesus' name. And I'm going to ask God, we're going to ask Jesus to do what only Jesus can do. And I want this congregation praying with me as I pray for her. This is not showmanship. See, so many times in ministry centers, it becomes a matter of show. Flesh gets involved and it becomes showmanship. No. Now, suppose you're in the workplace. Suppose you're in your family, wherever. And you meet somebody who has a specific problem. Maybe it's a disease, maybe whatever. And you can say to them, so-and-so, I can't heal you. I can't solve this, but I have a friend who can. Would you allow me to pray for you and ask my friend to solve this problem, whatever the problem may be? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
See, this can open a door for you for ministry. This can open a door for witnessing for you. So I'm saying to you this morning, Toby, I can't heal you, but I have a friend who can. His name is Jesus. Would you permit me to pray for you, asking my friend Jesus to do for you what only he can do?
Yes?
Yes?
My friend too.
Stand up. No big showmanship. We're just going to agree in prayer. The Word of God, listen. The Word of God says where two or three are gathered together, I'm there. So he's here.
Amen.
He's here.
Amen.
Amen. You brought him in with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're born again. You brought him in with you. He's in you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word says anything he did 100 years ago, he can do today. Anything he did 5 centuries ago, he could do today, can he not?
Amen.
If we would just believe. Trust him. Toby?
Yes, sir.
In the name of Jesus, I bless you. In the name of my friend, my Lord, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically, Lord Jesus, we as a corporate body, me as your servant, all of us as your servants, we're asking you to reverse all the advancement of what is called Parkinson's in Toby's body and life. We're asking you, Jesus. We're asking you to do what only you can do, Jesus. We've seen you answer prayer in this ministry. And so, Toby, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing to you. We speak healing from this Parkinson's and all the symptoms of Parkinson's. And with Jesus, we're asking you to do it in such a way, such a loving, gentle way. And where there is unbelief, let faith arise. And then Jesus, do it in such a way that she will give you the glory, the honor, the praise, and will give you the praise report right here in this congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You can do that with anybody, anywhere. You find out there's a problem. Somebody shares a problem. You find out there's a problem. You can go to them. I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, God has birthed this thing in my spirit so strong this week, and I can't tell you the times that I thought about you. And I was going to say that to you, Toby, I can't heal you, but I have a friend who can, and invoke prayer on you. It just kept coming day after day, and now I've done it. I've done it now. But you can do that with anybody, anywhere, anytime that you find out there's a problem. You can say, I can't help you. I can't heal you. But I have a friend who can.
Amen.
Do you mind? Is it okay with you? if I pray for you and invite my friend to do what only he can do? Amen? I wish I knew what else to say. We're different. I know that. We're a ragtag little bunch. But there's no conflict. There's no strife. There's no division. Nobody trying to make a power play. We're just everyday folks coming together in the name of Jesus. So we're going to close in a moment. I'm feeding around my spirit because something is birthing. I don't know what it is. Hang on a minute. Do you believe what you've heard this morning? It didn't go the way I planned it to go. It wasn't as smooth and as polished as I expected it to go, okay? It wasn't as smooth and as polished as I had intended it to be. Holy Spirit kind of kept putting it around. But the end result is what I'm concerned with. If you will walk out this morning saying, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust Him with all my heart. I will not lean to my own understanding. I will let Him direct my path, direct my ways. I will allow myself to be enabled and empowered by Him to represent Him, to be to Him and for Him all He wants me to be. That'll be sufficient.
Well, hearts, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge, and until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.